Let's read together John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. In these verses, we have the first part of the dialogue between our Lord and Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So let's look at a few background notes, first of all. We read in verse 1 that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees were a religious sect within Judaism at the time of Christ. Most of the Pharisees were self-righteous, legalistic hypocrites who rejected Jesus as the Messiah. But Nicodemus was refreshingly different. And here we see him coming to Christ with an open mind and listening to what the Lord had to say. He addressed him as Rabbi, which was a title of respect given to Jewish teachers of the law. Nicodemus, we see, realized that the wonderful works that Jesus was doing had to be from God. We read in verse 2 that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Why did he come by night? Well, either for convenience or because he was afraid to come by day when all his fellow Pharisees would know. In any case, he did the right thing. He came to the Lord with his questions. By the end of the Gospel of John, we see that Nicodemus had definitely become a bold believer. We read that he helped Joseph of Arimathea take the body of Jesus down from the cross and prepare it for burial. John chapter 19, verses 39 and 40. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. We see in verse 1, Nicodemus was not only a Pharisee, but a ruler of the Jews. That means he was a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the governing body of the Jews at the time of Jesus. It consisted of 70 members plus the high priest. Under the Roman Empire, which was in power, the Jewish Sanhedrin could make and enforce laws except for the death penalty. The death penalty was reserved for the Roman authorities. As a member of the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus defended the Lord when the Sanhedrin tried to bring charges against Christ. We read in John chapter 7, verses 50 and 51. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" So we see Nicodemus coming on strong. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move then to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number 1. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3, once again, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, this is quite an abrupt answer that Jesus gave Nicodemus. Nicodemus said to the Lord in verse 2, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now notice what the Lord did not say. He didn't say, "Well, thank you, Nicodemus. I really appreciate that remark." No, the Lord abruptly confronts Nicodemus with this, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, what did the Lord mean by that statement? We know that the Lord didn't mean that you become a fetus again and be born again physically, because Nicodemus asked about that. We know from our Lord's further comments that he was referring to a spiritual rebirth. It is a birth brought about by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 6 once again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's physical birth. And it's in a different realm, the physical realm, the fallen physical realm. But that which is born of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, is spirit. Namely, it's a spiritual birth that's being talked about here. And verse 7, do not marvel, Nicodemus, that I said to you, you must be born again. Don't be surprised that there are these two different realms. By the way, the you there in verse 7 is plural, showing that the Lord is taking in not just Nicodemus, but everyone. You must be born again. And then verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So it's a spiritual birth brought about by the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you a question. Why does the Lord use the illustration of the wind? Because you can't see the wind. You know when it's windy because you can hear the sound it causes and see the effects, but you can't see the wind. So it is with spiritual birth. It's not some physical thing you can see. You can see the effects when someone is born again, but you can't see spiritual life. Furthermore, as the wind is not controlled by human power, but under the sovereign power of God, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The phrase born again can also be translated born from above or born anew. In any case, the main point is that it is a spiritual birth brought about by the Holy Spirit. Now, the doctrinal point is this. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, the Lord is saying, unless you have this spiritual rebirth, we can't even talk about spiritual things, even though you want to. You cannot see or understand spiritual things without being born again. Nicodemus, until you are born again, you cannot and you will not share in the kingdom of God. Now, the same is true of everyone here today. You may be a nice person like Nicodemus was. You may be a religious person like Nicodemus was. You may think of Jesus as a great teacher, as Nicodemus did. But unless you are born again, you cannot share in the kingdom of God, now or forever. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Doctrinal point number 2. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 5 once again. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what did the Lord Jesus mean here by water and the Spirit? There are a number of different interpretations for this phrase, and it's not easy to decide which one is correct. Was the Lord talking about baptism? Well, certainly not about Christian baptism, because Christian baptism had not yet been instituted. Not only that, we know the rest of Scripture indicates you can't be saved by baptism. Well, maybe the Lord then was speaking about the baptism of John the Baptist, a baptism of repentance, which was by water, which Nicodemus certainly knew about. In other words, Nicodemus, you need to do more than go through John's baptism of repentance. You need to do more than repent if you're going to be born again. You have to have this spiritual rebirth. Some Christians believe the water here refers to Scripture, because water is used a number of times in the Bible in that figurative way. And we certainly do know that the Holy Spirit uses Scripture in bringing about the new birth in a believer's life. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So certainly the Holy Spirit does use the Word for bringing a person to new spiritual life. Some Christians interpret the water as just a symbol for the purification or the cleansing that's associated with salvation. We read in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Do you see the connection? Washing, regeneration, figurative expression for cleansing, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Other Christians have said the water refers to the Holy Spirit himself, because the little Greek word here translated and can be translated even. Thus you have, I say to you, unless one is born of water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Finally, there are other Christians who believe the water here refers to physical birth because of the water or amniotic fluid associated with physical birth. In other words, what the Lord is saying to Nicodemus in this interpretation is, Nicodemus, it's not physical birth, unless one is born again. Not only born of water, born physically, but now you have to have that second birth. You have to be born spiritually. While the interpretation, natural birth, seems like a wild idea at first, when you look at the context, it very definitely seems like the Lord, both before John 3:5 and after John 3:5, is definitely drawing a distinction between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. I mean, Nicodemus asks in verse 4, can a man enter his mother's womb and be born a second time? Well, now, verse 5, the Lord, in this interpretation, would be saying, no, Nicodemus, we're not talking about the natural realm here. You got to be born not only naturally of the water, but of the Spirit. Verse 6, now, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, the natural realm. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, the spirit realm. A definite difference being drawn between the natural and the spiritual. And then when you go to the historical context, how did they speak of natural birth back in those days? Well, this idea of born of water was used in reference to natural birth. So what's the right interpretation of water here? Well, we can't be sure, but the main point is hard to miss. You cannot enter the kingdom of God apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Practical application from this section of John. Let's be like Nicodemus and not like Demas. Let's be like Nicodemus and not like Demas. Demas, you say? Demas was a fellow worker with the Apostle Paul. But he quit. He left the ministry. He stopped serving the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul writes, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. What a contrast to Nicodemus. Nicodemus finished strong. He started out by coming to Jesus by night. But then he became a believer. Then he defended the Lord in the Sanhedrin. Then he boldly came forward and helped bury the Lord. Even the disciples had forsaken the Lord and run away at this point. Nicodemus finished strong. Demas started out his Christian life well, but he did not finish strong. Nicodemus finished strong. Let's be like Nicodemus and not like Demas.